When I was growing up, I loved the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. And for those who may not remember that comic strip, it consisted of a boy named Calvin, who was about 7 or 8 years old, and his stuffed tiger named Hobbes. And whenever Calvin was just alone with Hobbes, Hobbes came to life. He was his partner in crime. They get into all sorts of different adventures and different things. But whenever any other people, any other kids, any adults were there, Hobbes was just a stuffed animal. Well, on one particular strip, I remember Calvin is writing a letter. And it says, "Dear Grandma, thank you for the box of crayons that you gave me for Christmas." It was about a few weeks after Christmas had happened. And Hobbes walks by and says, "Writing a letter, huh?" Calvin says, "Yep. I always make sure to send a thank you card to Grandma ever since that one Christmas when she sent a box with only a single sheet of paper in it that said, 'Just checking to see if the mail service works.'" In that particular instance, I always remember that whenever I think about thank you cards, having to write thank you. It's just like, yeah, I better do this. Just checking for the mail service. And of course, we give thanks to people for gifts, for different things that are done. A lot of times it's out of, because it's the right thing to do, that we do it. We do it because it's the polite thing to do, to say thank you, or to write a thank you for that. Today's readings, together the first reading and the gospel, talk about giving thanks. But in those instances, I think there's more to the thanksgiving than simply out of feeling obliged to or feeling that it is the polite thing to do. It has so much more to do with the fact that these individuals who are giving thanks have received so much from God that this thanksgiving is a part of their healing, a part of what has just happened. Because if we look at both of these instances, they received a physical healing from God. But then there was also a very deep spiritual healing for them as well, as they come to realize who God is, who Christ is. In the first reading from the second book of Kings, we hear about this man named Naaman. Now, the lectionary kind of assumes that we've all done our homework and we know already who Naaman is. So allow me to just kind of give a little behind the scenes bit. If we were to read all the way through that book, we find out who Naaman is. Naaman is a general in the Syrian army, very close person with the king of Syria. But and he's very good at what he does. He's a very good general, but he has leprosy. It happens that in Naaman's household is a young girl who comes from the land of Israel. She was captured in a raid that he had done in Israel. And this young girl says to her mistress, Naaman's wife, "If only my master would come to the prophet in the land of Israel, he would be healed." So the wife tells Naaman about, "This is what I just found out." He goes and asks the king for permission to go to Israel. And there's a little bit more about how he travels down there and his encounter with the king and all this. But eventually he makes his way to the house of Elisha, the prophet. And he's coming, imagine, he's coming with all these gifts that he's ready to give to whoever can heal him of this leprosy. He's tried all sorts of different things. He's tried all these different things to get rid of it. And so he comes with this whole group, whole retinue, and he comes to the house, and Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends out a servant to go and tell him, go bathe in the river Jordan 7 times. Naaman is taken aback. He's like, the river Jordan? Like, there's all sorts of rivers back in my home area. Why should I go bathe in the river Jordan? Like, come on. And as well, he's taken aback because in his mind, he's pictured God doing something spectacular. Something marvelous. He says, I thought that the prophet would come out and do some sort of prayer, wave his hands over everything and heal all this. And instead he wants me to just bathe in a stinky old river. But his men convince him. He says, if he would have told you to do anything else, you would have jumped at the chance to do it. You would have done it. Why all the more now don't you go ahead and go into the river and bathe as the prophet says? Now I thought about how often we might fall into a similar trap. We hear about different healings. People have marvelous healings. But that one time maybe we get in our minds to, God tells us, hey, go and give your mother a call. Or give so-and-so a call. Or go and give that person a hug. Let them know that God loves them. Go do this. Go do these things. And we're thinking like, what, really? Seriously? You know, there's people dying of cancer and you want me to go call a person? We think God can't possibly be having me do something that simple. But he does. Sometimes it is that simple. So Naaman goes, and we finally catch this part of the story. He goes to the river and bathes, and he's cleaned. He's made whole once more. And so he goes back. We hear about this interesting exchange. He says, like, I got all this stuff. Here, take this. Elijah says, no, please, no, seriously, take this. He wants to give thanks. He wants to give him this stuff. But Elisha realizes it's not me. It's him. And Naaman finally understands. And that whole bit about how he wants to take some earth with him. He wants to take some of the holy earth of that place. So that he can, even though he can't, he's got to go back to his home. He's going to bring kind of some of that place with him. That he can worship on holy ground. Because he knows now, there's only one God. None of this, all this stuff that the Syrians are doing, I need to worship God. And so his thanksgiving brings about also a conversion. So he's not only healed physically, but he's also healed spiritually to understand better who God is. Much the same way with this leper who is coming before Jesus. He understands as well, or comes to eventually, that this is Jesus. We know that he had faith right from the get-go because Jesus tells him, your faith has saved you. We don't know exactly what went through his head as those 10 were leaving after Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. But remember, this is this key line. He says, Luke tells us, he was a Samaritan. There's no good reason for this Samaritan to expect that a Jewish rabbi is going to do anything special for him. They didn't get along. They weren't, no. They had nothing to do with each other. And yet the Samaritan goes to Jesus because of his faith to ask him, heal me, have pity on me. No one would blame him if in his mind as he was leaving, it's like, well, okay, you know, he tells him to go, and okay, I was kind of hoping he could do something to help me here. And he leaves. I always wonder what it must have been like when he first finally realized, like, wait a minute, guys, it's gone. The lesions, all the stuff is gone. We're healed. And he goes back glorifying God. He is so amazed. He's had the physical healing, yes. Now he goes and acknowledges Jesus. Acknowledges who Jesus truly is. Give me thanks to God for all that he has done. Stand up and go, Jesus says. Your faith has saved you. Let's not be afraid to give thanks to God. We are here before this altar. Receive the Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. We're here to give thanks. Not just because it's the polite thing to do. Not just because we have to. But because we want to come closer to God, to Jesus.